Welcome to the Hooked on Fantasy Podcast with your host, Luke Sawhook.
And Hutchison Brown. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Hooked on Fantasy. I'm your host, Hutchison Brown, along with your co-host, Luke Sawhook. We've got an epic episode tonight. We are starting our draft preview, so we're going to go position by position over the next month and kind of talk about the draft. And we're going to go fantasy relevant positions mostly. And we're going to be talking quarterbacks tonight. It's going to be really, really awesome. We got the handful of quarterback prospects in this draft class. Luke, we ready to go into it?
Absolutely, dude. I think this is going to be a really fun one. I mean, there's a lot of meat on the bone here. This is a very exciting quarterback class compared to the last couple of years. 2022 was pretty weak. 2021 was very weak. 2023 was decently juicy with Stroud and Young and all those guys. This year is probably the juiciest on paper, I would say, since 2020, which was the best draft class in recent history for sure. But I'm very excited about this first guy. I mean, I think this is a no-brainer. I know we're on the same page with him. Caleb Williams, he's locked and loaded QB1, guys. I mean, like, we don't need to spend that much time talking about him, really, but he's going to go to the Bears. He's in a great situation there. The organization as a whole has been a bit of a question mark lately, but I think they're doing a really good job of giving him weapons. I like signing with DeAndre Swift. I like them getting Keenan Allen. I like them getting or already having DJ Moore on the roster, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett. This is a lot of weapons for the number one overall draft pick. I think this might be the best situation a number one overall pick has gone into.
Yeah, potentially.
So much fun. He's so much fun to watch on film. All the arm angles, the play extension, the ability to get out of the pocket and make plays. Again, I don't want to comp him to Patrick Mahomes, but he looks a lot like him when you watch him sometimes with the escapability and the way he moves, throws off platform. I think more of a comp than what he actually comps himself to is a bit of Aaron Rodgers, but he definitely has that gunslinger in him. The ceiling is stupid high for him. Like, he's locked and loaded the number one overall player on the board this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more with you, man. When you watch him play, he's so fun. He really is like a Patrick Mahomes. The off-balance throws that he can make and, you know, the on the run, on the move, whether it's like just sidearm above, whatever you want to do it, he can do it. And he just throws with such accuracy. And I feel like we're overstating here. We talk about all the fun plays he can make. But in rhythm, when the offense is rolling, when everything is in place, he can also make plenty of plays. He doesn't have to be scrambling for his life, making the most craziest throws of all time. He's also, when everything's smooth and everything's rolling normally, he's just a great pocket passer. He's accurate. He knows when pressure's coming. He knows how to duck and dodge and escape and extend plays. He really is just, he's arguably the best quarterback prospect we've seen in a little bit.
A long time.
Yeah, in a while. He's quite the quarterback prospect. And I see a lot of people trying to challenge him and, you know, throw him around and try to pick him apart. And it's just like, dude, just stop. Like, he's just a difference maker. You got to not overthink it. So Caleb Williams is quarterback one, and there's honestly not much more to say there. He's QB1.
The level of prospect fatigue with Caleb Williams is ridiculous. I mean, the only thing people are criticizing him for, I see publicly, is nail polish and crying after an emotional game. Like, get over yourself. He seems like a great guy.
Get over it. Really, yeah, like all the pink phone, stuff, the lip gloss. Just get over it, man. It's
so stupid.
Just get over it. just get over it, man.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's not a problem. The thing that you said earlier, you really stood out to me when it's so true, is he doesn't have to be Superman, even though he can be, right? Like, he can make these superhero worthy plays where he escapes out of, you know, 19 broken sacks and chucks it down the field on the money for a touchdown. Like, he can do that, like Mahomes does sometimes, or Rodgers or Josh Allen. But he also, like you mentioned, can sit in there from a clean pocket and pick you apart, move the chains, and put together consistent drives, which I think is super important. I just think that he has that X factor about him. He has a lot of the intangibles you look for that have such a high ceiling in quarterback play, right? He's not just a statue in the pocket. He's so mobile and plays so well on the run. I think he's a perfect fit for the modern day NFL, and I'm really excited to see him play. Really high ceiling for fantasy as well. Even, you know, as a rookie, I think he could have a top 15, top 12 season with those weapons he has there.
No,
like,
this is
he's going to have a good year.
Yeah, when you think about most quarterback prospects that are drafted in like the top 5, top 10-ish area, most of these guys are not going to situations like Caleb Williams is. We've talked about best situation for number one overall pick. When you look at like top 5, top 10 quarterback picks in general, like Caleb Williams is going to one of the better. I mean, you have two like top tier wide receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Both are easily wide receiver ones in the NFL. And you've got DeAndre Swift, Roshan Johnson, Khalil Herbert, three very serviceable running backs. And right. then you have Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett, two athletic tight ends that can make plays both, you know, while the ball's coming at them and after the catch. Those two are great. And the offensive line, while it is definitely a struggle, that's the only problem, really. Otherwise, the weapons are going to be elite for him. So I'm super, super excited for Caleb.
Yeah, they're top notch. Like I mentioned, and you mentioned, his play extension and mobility in the pocket is fantastic. So I think that he, although obviously would benefit from a clean pocket, that offensive line being poor, I think his play style isn't.
He'll be fine.
Be a detriment for that offensive line. I think he'll play well with it. And do the most he can with those weapons. They're going to try to help him out on the outside for sure. I mean, DeAndre Swift's a great back to check it down too as well. Great receiver. So
100%.
Again, he's set up for success. I'm really excited to see what he can do. I mean, he is a Chicago Bear. Like, I would bet my house on it at this point. Yep. Very excited to see what he can do.
He's like minus 2,200 on it.
Yeah, it should be higher.
He's like minus 2,200 on DraftKings. Like, it's like
it honestly, Hutch should be higher. Like, I literally would bet $1,000 on that and just like feel comfortable. Like, I'm not kidding. Like,
I don't even know.
I'm not going to put money on it. Because like the payout's so low, I'm not rich enough for that. But like if I was like rich, you know, I would throw some change at that, because that is like free money.
Yeah,
it's literally free money, dude. Like, there's no way it changes. But yeah, very excited for Caleb Williams. He's definitely the top prospect in this class. Moving on here, QB2 is an interesting conversation this year.
It is a very interesting conversation.
Drake May was pretty locked and loaded as the QB2 of this draft class for a while during the season. But Jaden Daniels, man, he put on a fantastic show this year. He won the Heisman Trophy, playmaker, you know, mobile quarterback, dual threat, though. Who is your QB2 before we dive too deep into this? Do you have May or Daniels as your QB2 of this draft class right now?
My QB2 would be Drake May. As a talent, as a prospect, it would be Drake May. But for fantasy, I can really see the argument for Daniels due to his athletic upside. But I think as an NFL, like if I were an NFL manager, I would rank Caleb Williams number one. I would rank Drake May number two. Because when you look at Drake May, I mean, he has the athletic ability. He really does. It's not Jaden Daniels level, but this dude can really run. I mean, honestly, he's built big and strong. He's powerful. He really is. It's kind of right. like a Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen style, where he's not electric fast, but he's powerful as a runner. He can really hurt you. And he will truck any linebacker you throw at him. He really will. He is that physical and that powerful. I saw plenty of plays where he was just dropping a shoulder and going straight after somebody because he doesn't give a crap, dude. He just go after anybody. And while that might hurt him in the NFL, it also is just awesome to see him being that physical and being that confident in himself. Right. But through his career, 63 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, and just an overall great player. The only thing I would look at him, he's really accurate with the ball. He can chuck it downfield. I would say sometimes he hesitates on his decision-making in the pocket. The things I noticed that he's a little slow to make decisions. Sometimes he gets in trouble. He gets into sack trouble. He gets into pressure trouble. But sometimes, usually he's able to escape with his legs. But if he's holding on to the ball too long in the NFL, it's going to be quickly noticed and quickly taken advantage of. So he's got to start getting those decisions in faster. So I'm hoping he can go to a place that's able to develop in that way and also have some good weapons so they can get open quickly. Like, assuming he goes to Washington, you got Terry McLaurin who can get open all day long. So I'm hoping that happens for him.
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with you 100% here. I have May as my QB2 in terms of real life, you know, NFL GM hat being put on. I like his makeup a lot. You know, I think he has everything you want from a franchise quarterback. I think most years this guy could definitely be a number one overall pick. Caleb Williams just happened to be here.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he could absolutely be a QB1 of a class. But
and like you mentioned too, for fantasy, I think I prefer Jaden Daniels. And in terms of real life talent too, I think Daniels and May are in a very similar talent tier for me. I think I can flip a coin and decide between those guys. They're both fantastic. But Daniels, again, for fantasy, has a higher ceiling and a higher floor because of the rushing. I think that he can use his legs more at the next level. But I think all three of these guys, Daniels, May, and Williams, have certified franchise quarterback ceilings. Caleb Williams has Hall of Fame ceiling, though, like, for sure. Like, Daniels definitely could, but I think they're more in that franchise QB kind of potential tier for me, where Williams is, like, perennial Pro Bowler, you know, hopefully future Hall of Famer level prospect. But I'm very excited to see what May and Daniels can do. I think that these guys are going to go 1-2-3 as well. I'd be pretty surprised if they don't. We could see 1-2-3-4.
I don't know, man. Dude, I don't know. I think I think the Patriots are going to shock us. They're going to take MJ.
The Patriots need a quarterback, man. They need a wide receiver so bad.
They need a wide receiver.
But here's the thing, though. There's new clips out there, you know, of Gerard Mayo, new head coach, right? He's at the GM, but like, as soon as he got hired, like a couple months ago after Belichick retired, they were interviewing. He's like, "Oh, like, what position do you plan on addressing, or like, who do you plan on drafting at number 3?" And he's like, kind of laughing. He's like, "We plan to address a pretty important position, if you know what I mean. Like, they're gonna draft a quarterback." I feel like the Patriots are such a good organization, and they have been for so long. It's hard to get in the spot to take a quarterback without trading away the farm. And they have the chance to do that. And either May or Daniels, whoever's going to be there at 3, has like franchise QB potential. Like, I think they should draft one of those two guys. Like, I think it, obviously Marvin Harrison.
I don't disagree with you. I think
they really should take a quarterback. And I feel like if I had to bet again today, I bet that the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3. I really think it's going to happen. I think 4, the Cardinals, if they don't trade out, they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I think they should, and I think it's a very realistic outcome. But when you look at the Patriots, I see a soccer coming. I see Marvin Harrison Jr. being drafted. I don't know why, but I feel like they're gonna roll with Jacoby Brissett and let him try and then give them the 2025 quarterback. I've seen rumors that that's what they're trying to do. I've actually seen some reports saying that's what they want to do. But I think it could go both ways, absolutely. But when you look at more, I want to look at more Jaden Daniels as a prospect too. I mean, this past year, I mean, he's played in college for 5 years, just throwing that out there. He's a little bit older. He's 23 years of age. He will be 24 during the, I believe during the 2024 season, he'll be turning 24, if I'm not mistaken. But in all of his seasons, he showed flashes, but this past year was the most impressive. 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and just a ridiculous season rushing-wise as well. But he's got the tools, man. Deep ball, he's got it. He can chuck it down the field. Yep. He's got the athleticism. He can escape in the pocket. And he's just got that. And those two things provide elite upside for fantasy football. But the problem is, I don't like, one, the way he runs the football. That dude doesn't, like, so the thing is, Drake, because the thing is, when I talked about Drake May earlier about how physical he is, I loved it, because the thing is, Drake May has the size to do that. Jaden Daniels is not as much. He's a little bit smaller, a little bit of a smaller build, and he takes hits that he shouldn't. I remember specifically watching one play where he tried to hurdle the entire offensive line. Have you seen this play? Play Luke.
Here's the thing though. It's like, that doesn't really concern me, to be honest with you, because I feel like that can be coached out of him in the next level.
It totally could. But also, I know that I feel like the passing there too. Sometimes there's a lot of times where I watch film where I saw him struggling through his reads. He was a one read tuck and run guy. And obviously that can be coached out. That can be worked on. If he goes to a coach that we like, you know, how Anthony Richardson's been working with Shane Steichen really well.
I must add too, what if that was what the coaches were telling him to do? You know what I mean?
Potentially. Yeah. What if the coach? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know though, because I would doubt that because they have Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers. I feel like they would be like, throw the ball, those guys, please. Don't just run it the whole time.
Hey, well, he did though. You know what I mean?
We don't know. Like, we don't know. Yeah, absolutely.
That guy.
Yeah, absolutely. That could totally be the world we're living here with Daniels. But I would say Daniels, he had an impressive season last year. He has the tools, but he needs some coaching. I'm not saying he's an Anthony Richardson level prospect where it's like a horrible passer in college. He really did look impressive, but there are some moments where it's like, ooh, he needs to polish up there. He needs to develop his reading there. He needs to make a better decision there with the ball in his hands. So I'm just a little bit nervous about Daniels. But I still think overall he's a really good prospect. I'm excited.
Really high ceiling, which I really like.
Yeah, again, absolutely. He
has all the tools. He's a pretty, you know, good dual threat quarterback, and that excites me. I think that's a team. Yes. A team like New England could really use a guy like that.
Yeah, he's a Richardson, Lamar, Fields kind of athlete. Like, he is that kind of guy. He's got that.
He's really talented. I'm a big fan of his. I'm excited to see what he can do at the next level. But let's talk about the guy we're really here for. His name's in the episode title. J.J. McCarthy is a very controversial prospect in a way that he played in a, you know, more pro style kind of thing in Michigan, did a lot of run, hand off the ball, convert on third downs. So it's kind of difficult for people to evaluate him sometimes. Has a lot of the tools that, you know, a lot of NFL franchises really like. We're hearing a lot of buzz about him creeping up draft boards. He's the QB3 for a lot of people in this draft class, you know, NFL evaluators. Oh,
I've heard him as high as 2, man. He's been going.
Yeah, I have too. I've heard him as high as 2 as well. Are you buying into JJ McCarthy? Do you think he can be a franchise quarterback? Do you think it's worth it for a team like, let's say, Minnesota to trade up to number four or number five to try to get him? Like, what do you think about him? Do you think he's worth the investment of a top five, top 10 draft pick?
So when I look at JJ McCarthy, I've been watching, like, actually, like, this morning, I try to study even more film on these quarterbacks in preparation for the show. But specifically, I want to look at JJ McCarthy because I hadn't looked at him enough, I feel like. And I watched a lot of his games. And the things I was seeing, like, he really impressed me. He really did. I mean, this dude is a really precise passer, man. He can make some accurate throws, really, really good. He can escape pressure, make throws on the run that are really impressive. He can chuck it downfield. But while saying that, he played in a spot where it was so beneficial for him. Lots of screens, lots of short passes, lots of easy plays to make, lots of running the football, and great defense for Michigan.
I've seen a Brock Purdy comp floated around.
That, like, literally, I couldn't be, like JJ McCarthy in Michigan, Brock Purdy in San Francisco, they're basically the same to me. Like, seriously, the same. Play really well in the system they're in.
Which is tough to evaluate.
Which is really tough to evaluate because we might see him drafted to a place where he has to do a little bit lot more on his own. Like, if he were to go to Minnesota, which is a very possible outcome right now.
I think that'd be great.
It's a good outcome because you got the receiving talent and you got the talent around him, but you don't have the – I mean, you got a level of running game with Aaron
Jones. I think
Jones
Justin Jefferson covers the world of hurt. I'm not going to lie.
That's
Justin
fair. Jefferson does.
Jordan Addison, T.J. Hawkinson, like, that's a damn good landing spot.
But you don't have a defense. Minnesota Vikings don't have a defense. He's going to be put under a lot of pressure to score some points. And we don't know if he's going to be able to thrive under that or not. And we've seen a lot lately in the NFL, you know, quarterbacks are able to pass more and more. We've seen a lot lately. These guys are getting let go. They're just getting let go in their rookie year. And I feel like McCarthy might not be ready for that because he wasn't doing it in Michigan. Because the thing is, like, when you look at the numbers, let's just look at this, just these two raw numbers for a second. 206 pass yards per game last year. Pretty, like, low number. But he averaged nearly 10 yards per attempt.
That's great.
Like, crazy efficient, but he just didn't get to pass the ball. So it's just crazy to watch him because he's so good, but you know the system is helping him so
the
much.
The thing I like about really JJ McCarthy is his age. He has the tools.
21 years old.
He has the age. He seems like a good kid. I like the makeup of the
team. He seems like a leader too, man. He seems like a great leader.
Jim Harbaugh has been singing nothing but his praises about how good of a leader he is. Absolutely. How he has that, like, killer instinct. He has a good arm. The thing I really like about him is his age too. He's 21 years old. He's going to be 21 through the entire NFL season unless they make it to the playoffs. He turns 22 in January of next season. So he's, like, the youngest or one of the youngest prospects in this draft classes at the quarterback position, and I love that. I think that's great for him to be in the draft at a young age and already be such a highly talented guy. I like JJ McCarthy. I feel like that he's a quarterback that you would kind of like in this draft because you can get him outside of the top three most likely, but if not, you might not need to pay your soul to get JJ McCarthy. And again, I think he's a perfect guy, honestly, for maybe the New York Giants to target. The Giants or the Vikings. I've been seeing both those teams.
I would not want JJ McCarthy at the Giants.
No. Go hear what I'm not saying. I don't think it'd be good for fantasy. It might not be good for his career. I'm saying if I was a team who was QB needy, who could maybe get him in that range in the draft, I don't hate the idea of drafting him if I was a GM because he has the tools, he has the makeup, he has the potential to be a very successful NFL quarterback, and he's super young. You know, he has time to sit back and develop. You were just talking about how old Jaden Daniels is. JJ McCarthy's an interesting prospect. Again, he's a guy who we feel like could be hard to evaluate and, you know, maybe has a bit of a bust potential, but I also feel like this guy has franchise quarterback potential. Like, I see it. You know what I mean? Like, I see why people really like him. And I like him too. I think he's not going to climb above QB4 for me. I think he's going to be pretty firmly set at my QB4 in this draft class behind Daniels and Williams.
Yeah.
But I like him. Well, I think he's worthy of a top 10 draft pick. And I think there is obviously some risk here, but I can see JJ McCarthy developing into a franchise quarterback under the right circumstances. And that's the thing that we don't talk about enough, in my opinion, about prospect evaluation, Hutch. You have to be so good to transcend your landing spot, especially a quarterback.
You have to be so good.
Because, you know, a lot of guys, once you've been put in a bad situation, you're kind of cooked. You know what I mean? So if JJ McCarthy could land in a situation where he's properly developed, has good weapons around him, is in a situation where he doesn't have to do too much on his own, as we mentioned earlier, I think it could be great for his career. I would honestly really, really like to see him in Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that's a very solid option. I love what you're saying about, you know, talent valuation when we're talking about like where they go and not like the only the biggest talents can really outdo their situations. You know, well, I just look at a couple of receivers over the last handful of years that have done this. You know, look at DJ Moore and Terry McLaurin. These two guys are studs and they've always played with horrific quarterback play. So they haven't been able to take that next step that we know their talent can do because of the quarterback play around them. And McCarthy, I think, is the same way. If he gets drafted to like, if he gets drafted to the Giants, I'm going to be quite nervous for him. But personally, like me, when I look at like, I don't think this is realistic anymore because they traded for another quarterback this offseason. But if he were, if Seattle was still in the quarterback market for someone behind Geno Smith, I would like that a lot because you got the running back room with Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker. You got a young growing offensive line. You got those three elite receivers and you've got a head coach who is about defense and running the football. And Geno, we know he's an old veteran who's been slowly declining over the last couple of years since that amazing year when he took over for Drew Locke in that season. But but now that they have Sam Howell, that's probably not really a realistic option anymore for Seattle. But probably I would, and then I would also shout out Atlanta too. But they have Kirk Cousins now, so that's kind of
I think Atlanta's out of it too.
But Minnesota is probably the top landing spot that's the most realistic as of right now for JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the draft board here, I mean, some teams that stick out to me in the top 10 that could use a quarterback, it's pretty much the New York Giants at 6 right now for me. Minnesota at 11 is interesting. They have some ammunition to trade up.
They might have to trade up.
I think those are the two teams for me. I think we could see a play here. Again, looking at the top 5, Chicago with the number 1 pick, they're going Caleb Williams. Washington will take a quarterback at 2. New England should take a quarterback at 3. I think Arizona is either
I'm very confident.
Marvin Harrison Jr. The team that I think could trade out of this top 5 is the Chargers. I really think the Chargers could trade back.
They're either taking Joel Olt or Marvin Harrison Jr. They're not trading. I would be very shocked if they traded.
I would think it would make a ton of sense. I think it makes a ton of sense for them to trade with Minnesota at 11. Move back a few spots. Get some more assets. Keep building your team around Justin Herbert. I think it makes perfect sense for them to trade down from 5 to 11 from Minnesota. Minnesota trades up to 5 and takes JJ McCarthy. I think if anyone in the top 5 is trading, I think it's going to be the Chargers.
Need that number 5 pick. I would guess it's Arizona, but I totally see it with the Chargers. It makes sense for them to do it, but I don't see Jim Harbaugh or this team wanting to pass on either Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt. Like they,
hey, listen, I just understand. Don't think they need one of those understand. Two players. I mean, maybe not Joe Alt, but let's say Marvin Harrison Jr. goes 4 to Arizona. And you're looking at neighbors or Alt. Like, I think you trade back, dude. I like it. I think if they get Marvin Harrison Jr., keep it. If they don't, trade it. That's my opinion. I think, that's if the Minnesota Vikings come calling for 5. I think that they're going to get a lot of assets for that pick because they're coming for a quarterback, and that's going to be expensive. And their roster isn't bad. You know, they need wide receiver help now. But, I mean, here's the thing. They have Justin Herbert. Like, they're good for a while in terms of, like, being decent at minimum because they have a good quarterback, right? They just need to build the pieces around him, and I think building those additional assets is going to be worth it. And number 11 is still a pretty damn good pick. I don't know. I think it's a good trade for the Vikings. The Chargers. Yeah.
That's totally fair. At 11, you could still look at a wide receiver option. There's a couple tackle options you can look at 11. You can look at a couple different options at 11 too. So it's interesting. But I don't know. I really feel like the Cardinals are the team that's going to trade back. They're in a lot. They're retooling a lot of their team, and I feel like they're going to be there. I feel like the team that wants a quarterback is going to be trading up for that spot because we know the Giants could do it. We know the Giants could take a quarterback. We know there's a couple teams that could take a quarterback in that top 8. So I feel like the team that wants to get quarterback is going to be shooting for 4, for number 4 overall. So I'm looking at that. But
they definitely could be. I if any of these picks are moving, it's 4 or 5. It's going to be the Chargers or the Cardinals. Yeah. But again, Hutch, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm sitting pretty at number 4. Like, my legs are crossing the table. Like, my arms are behind my head. And it's like, get those Marvin Harrison Jr. jerseys ready to sell on the team.
What if they draft Harrison, though?
What? That's what I said. You have Marvin Harrison.
What if the Patriots draft Harrison? What if the Patriots draft Harrison?
Well, then trade
back, right?
Listen, I understand why the Patriots would want Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it makes sense. But I really think you got to get the quarterback here. While you're already here, it's a good year. You have good draft capital position. You don't need to trade up. You sit back. You take the quarterback that falls to you at three, and that's what you do. I think from there, you can look to get, you know, a good wide receiver another year. That's just my opinion.
That's totally I agree with you. I think they should go for the quarterback, especially looking – I know it's still a little – it's very early, but the 2025 quarterback class doesn't look the strongest right now. Obviously, right. Things could change dramatically. Things do that all the time. But right now, it's looking a little weak compared to this year. So, you know, whatever happens there. But and I would agree with you. They got to take a quarterback, but I still see a potential where they take wide receiver. But moving on, last piece of the thing we want to talk about here, is there any quarterbacks you like after these four? Because for me, I'm just not interested. I like Bo Nix, Michael Penix – Spencer Rattler, like I'm good.
I think there's a chance that some of these guys can work out, especially
sure, there's a chance, but I think
Bo Nix is the one that could work out, if any, for me. I think that he has potential. It's just there's a lot of question marks. Penix, I was telling you this before we went live. He's older, which I don't like, but I've seen him, you know, throw the ball at a decent level in college. And then Rattler is just such a question mark. He's a total wild card. Like, I could see him developing into a mid-round quarterback who has a good career as a starter. I could see him being a backup for a long time. Yeah. I don't know. It feels like he doesn't have the highest ceiling to me, but I feel like he has a pretty high floor.
I remember seeing him. I remember a few years ago when I first started in the industry, seeing a video of him in high school. He was a terrible leader, dude. Like, he was a terrible leader. And ever since, I've always had a bit of a bias against Spencer Rattler because of that. There were a couple, not just one, but a couple videos that came out of him, like, he was an awful leader in his schools, man. He was an awful guy.
I don't really love any of these guys.
Me neither. I'm not interested in him either.
Sorry. Another older prospect. He can throw it really far and it's cool, but like, no. Bo Nix, I think, is the only one. If I had to pick one of the three others who I think are in that next tier, I'm going to go with Bo Nix. I think he definitely has starter upside.
Yeah.
But the other guys, I could take it or leave it. They're all wild cards with low odds of hitting. I think Bo Nix, if you want to scratch you off, go for it. But outside of that, I'm not really a fan here. I think that, you know, four guys we talked about earlier, Williams, May, Daniels, and McCarthy, are the guys who have the upside here in this draft class. I'm really excited to see where all those guys go and how it all plays out. But Nix, Penix, and Rattler, I think I'm good on if I'm an NFL GM.
And let's real quick wrap the show. I want to do this. Let's do rapid fire predictions where all these quarterbacks are. Let's do the top four.
Oh, please. Please.
Rapid fire.
Williams is a bear, obviously. Yep. I'm going to go with May, number two, to the Commanders. I think it's all smoke that Daniels is number two for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think that he's going to Washington. I think Jaden Daniels is a Patriot. I think they're going to do it. I think it makes a lot of sense for them. I think they'll provide a spark that this Patriots organization has been needing for a while. It's been pretty bland and boring ever since Brady left. I think McCarthy's a Viking, dude. I think they're going to make a play for him. I think it makes a lot of sense for this team right now. They have Darnold there to be a bridge quarterback while he can sit for a little bit. They have weapons there. They're in position to strike for a quarterback with some draft capital to move up. I think it makes a lot of sense. I like McCarthy to land there. Nix, Penix, and Rattler, who cares?
All right, I'm going to talk about Caleb as a bear. Caleb is definitely a bear. Drake May is going to be a Commander. And then I'm going to say the Vikings will trade up to number four overall after the Patriots take Marvin Harrison Jr. at three. The Vikings trade up number four overall, take Jaden Daniels. McCarthy is going six to the Giants.
That is definitely a possible outcome. If the Patriots trade, that makes a lot of sense. Oh, sorry, if the Cardinals trade, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely, I can see that happening. For sure.
Yeah, the only problem is the Denver Broncos, too, because they are desperate.
Also a future, dude, where Daniels goes QB4. I think I could see a future where Jaden Daniels McCarthy. What if the Patriots take McCarthy at three and then Daniels slips down the board? Yeah, a little dude. Bit? Like that. Yeah, could happen.
Out of these three, I feel like I'm obviously with my predictions. I'm not saying that, but there is definitely a world where one of these guys really slips, like Will Levis did last year. There's a world.
Maybe. But, I don't know. We'll see. I think people like McCarthy more than Levis, if I had a gut feeling. But I don't know. It's that time of year. It's all a bunch of smoke screens and media noise. It's kind of hard to filter through what's real, what's not. I don't know at all. But if I had to guess right now, based on what I think is true in terms of talent evals, it should be QBs 1, 2, 3 and McCarthy somewhere between picks 4 to picks 6. I don't think he escapes pick number 6. Yeah. Absolute lowest he goes is Vikings at 11. I would be stunned if they pass on him at 11.
No, they won't pass him 11. There's no way. Chance. The Vikings had a quarterback in their lap at 11. There's no chance.
There's no way.
No chance they pass.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I see them having a trade up.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Well, this is another episode of Hooked on Fantasy. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again next week with another episode. We'll be talking. What do you want to do next week, Hutch? Wide receivers or running backs?
Running backs.
Running backs. Well, this is a very interesting running back draft. It should be fun.
It is interesting. I like it a lot.
Very interesting. Well, stay tuned. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're watching live, we have 238 live viewers. Another big week for us live. So appreciate everyone tuning in over there. Everyone streaming, thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe. Leave a review if you enjoy the show. We'll be back next week. Hutch, say goodbye.
Bye.